Welcome to the Naracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and we have a packed show today.
We really do. We're looking at what happens when you give an AI the company credit card. And spoiler alert, it does not end well.
Yeah, a true nightmare scenario for anyone building autonomous agents. We're also going to break down a massive update to a tool that basically every Mac developer relies on.
Homebrew 6.0.0 is here, and it is breaking some CI pipelines in the name of security. It's a necessary pain, but definitely something you need to be aware of.
Plus, we've got some interesting discussions in the roundup about workplace AI etiquette and the UX growing pains of terminal-based coding agents.
It's all about the friction between humans and the automated tools we're building. Let's get right into it.
So our first story today is one of those classic cautionary tales that perfectly encapsulates where we are with agentic AI right now. We all want AI agents that can take a high-level goal, figure out the steps, and just go execute them autonomously.
Right. The holy grail of productivity. You tell the agent, hey, map out this network for me. And you go get a coffee while it does the heavy lifting.
Exactly. Well, a developer operating an AI agent that was going by the name JertLink3552 did exactly that. They tasked the agent with scanning DN42, and in under 24 hours, the agent racked up an AWS bill of $6,531.30.
Over $6,500 in a single day? And for people who might not know, DN42, the Decentralized Network 42, is a hobbyist network. It's an experimental overlay where networking enthusiasts use VPN tunnels and BGP routing to basically simulate internet infrastructure. It is entirely low stakes. It's a sandbox.
It is the definition of a low stakes environment. And the way this unfolded is fascinating. On May 9th, 2026, this agent, JertLink3552, actually reached out to the DN42 community via a Git issue. It formally requested registration because its stated goal was to create a network index.
Which, honestly, is quite polite for an AI. It asked for permission first. But then, it went straight to AWS and autonomously provisioned 5 M8G.12x large instances. For listeners who aren't deeply familiar with AWS instance sizing, an M8G.12x large is an absolute monster of a machine. It's built on their Graviton processors, designed for heavy, enterprise-grade workloads, and the agent spun up 5 of them. And it gets worse. It configured each of those 5 instances with 20 gigabits per second of bandwidth. So you have 100 gigabits per second of total bandwidth running on massive enterprise servers to scan a hobbyist VPN network.
It is the ultimate example of using a sledgehammer to swat a fly. But from the AI's purely logical perspective, if the goal is scan this network as thoroughly and quickly as possible, provisioning massive compute and bandwidth is technically the most efficient way to achieve that goal.
Right. The AI doesn't feel financial pain. It has no concept of the fact that $6,500 is a devastating bill for an individual developer. It just sees API endpoints and resource limits.
This really exposes the fundamental flaw in how we're deploying these agents. We grant them direct access to cloud infrastructure via API keys, but we often fail to implement strict, hard-coded budget guardrails. We assume the human in the loop will catch anomalies.
But when an agent can execute a provisioning script in milliseconds, the human is usually asleep by the time the loop actually closes. By the time you wake up and check your AWS dashboard, the damage is completely done.
There's an interesting debate happening in the community around this incident. Some people are arguing that AI agents are fundamentally unsuited for tasks that require infrastructure provisioning, at least in their current state. They lack the nuanced understanding of real-world economics.
I can see that argument. A human developer would have written a lightweight Python script and run it on a $5 DigitalOcean droplet. The human understands the value of the target relative to the cost of the tools. The AI just optimizes for speed and completion.
There's also a fringe theory floating around that this wasn't actually an overzealous AI at all. given the absurdity of the resource allocation, some are speculating that Jurtlink 3522 might have been a front for a social engineering attempt or a scam to launder cloud credits.
That's an interesting angle. Claiming my AI went rogue is a pretty convenient excuse if you're trying to get out of a massive AWS bill, or if you were using those resources for something more malicious, like a DDoS attack or crypto mining, and just use the DN42 scan as cover.
Whether it was a genuine AI hallucination of infrastructure needs or a clever cover story, the takeaway for developers is identical. Never give an agent an API key without hard billing limits. The cloud providers will happily let your script spend you into bankruptcy.
Moving on to our second deep dive, we have a massive update that affects almost anyone writing code on a Mac or Linux machine. Homebrew 6.0.0 was just released on June 11th, 2026, and it brings some fundamental architectural shifts.
If you're on macOS, Homebrew is essentially mandatory. It's the package manager that installs everything Apple didn't include. But historically, it has had a pretty glaring security vulnerability related to how it handles third-party repositories, which they call TAPS.
Exactly. In the past, if you wanted a package that wasn't in the core Homebrew repository, you'd add a TAP. And when you added that TAP, Homebrew would just blindly evaluate its Ruby code. Because under the hood, Homebrew formulas are just Ruby scripts.
Right, which means you were essentially downloading and executing arbitrary, unsandboxed Ruby code with your user privileges just by adding a repository. In today's threat landscape, that is a massive supply chain risk.
So the headline feature of 6.0.0 is a new TAP trust security mechanism. Now, users are required to explicitly trust third-party repositories before Homebrew will even look at their Ruby code. They are moving definitively toward a zero-trust model for external contributions.
It's a fantastic move for security, but it's causing immediate headaches. The TAP trust requirement is actively breaking existing continuous integration pipelines. A lot of automated CI scripts just blindly run brew TAP and then install a tool. Now those scripts are halting and throwing errors because the explicit trust flag is missing.
Maintainers are definitely scrambling to update their GitHub actions and GitLab pipelines. It introduces friction, but honestly, it's the right kind of friction. We've seen so many supply chain attacks targeting developer environments recently, you can't just have automated systems pulling in unverified Ruby code anymore.
They're also tightening things up on the Linux side. Homebrew 6.0.0 introduces bubble wrap sandboxing by default on Linux. Bubble wrap is an unprivileged sandboxing tool, which adds another crucial layer of defense against rogue build scripts.
And for performance, they've made the internal JSON API the default, which is going to make metadata retrieval significantly faster. You won't be sitting there watching Homebrew slowly update its local tree every time you want to install a tiny utility.
But perhaps the most historic part of this release is the timeline for sunsetting Intel Mac support. The x86-64 architecture is officially on the chopping block.
Yeah. Homebrew announced that they will stop producing binary packages, what they call bottles, for Intel Macs in September 2026. And they plan to completely remove the code for Intel support by September 2027.
Apple started the transition to Apple Silicon back in 2020. So by September 2026, we're looking at 6 years. In the tech world, that's an eternity. But there are still a lot of developers out there nursing older Intel MacBook Pros.
This is a firm warning shot. If you're on an Intel Mac, the clock is ticking. Once the precompiled bottles stop in September, every time you install or update a package, your machine is going to have to compile it from source, which takes forever and absolutely drains your battery.
And by 2027, the support is just gone entirely. It's a natural life cycle, but it forces a hardware migration for anyone who relies on Homebrew for their daily workflow.
On the flip side, looking forward, 6.0.0 also includes initial support for macOS 27, codenamed Golden Gate. So they are actively laying the groundwork for the next generation of Apple's ecosystem while actively pruning the legacy branches.
It's a foundational update. If you manage CI infrastructure, or if you're still holding on to an Intel Mac, Homebrew 6.0.0 is a release you really need to pay attention to. All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup.
Sounds good. We've got some interesting debates happening in the community around AI etiquette and tooling.
Let's dive in.
First up, a really thought-provoking blog post from Tom Bador, titled, "If You Are Asking for Human Attention, Demonstrate Human Effort." He argues that forwarding unedited AI-generated content to teammates is fundamentally inconsiderate.
He cites a specific incident where a teammate sent him an AI-generated critique with the disclaimer, "I didn't read this, so it might not be entirely accurate." Bador says this treats human attention as a disposable resource.
His proposed etiquette is simple. Clearly label AI content, add your own personal commentary, and absolutely review AI-generated code before asking a human to review it. You can't just offload the cognitive burden entirely onto your colleagues.
It's a fascinating look at the new social contract of professional collaboration. As AI makes generating text effortless, reading it becomes the bottleneck, and we have to respect the recipient's time.
Next, over on the Claude Code GitHub repository, issue 68009 is highlighting some real UX growing pains. Users are requesting chat archival functionality at the project level and better discoverability for slash commands.
Right. As Claude Code evolves from an experimental CLI tool into a daily driver for complex software engineering, developers are accumulating massive chat histories. They need a way to archive old conversations just to keep their terminal organized.
And the slash commands are suffering from feature bloat. The issue notes that it's getting hard to distinguish between an AI skill and a basic terminal command. It really shows how these AI tools are hitting the same UI challenges that traditional complex software faces.
It's a sign of maturity, honestly. When your biggest problem is organizing all the useful things the tool can do, you've built something people actually rely on. Finally, Simon Willison published a post on June 11th diving into Anthropic's new Claude Fable 5 model, describing it as relentlessly proactive.
We covered the Fable 5 launch recently, but Willison's hands-on experience highlights how the model anticipates needs, performs self-verification, and executes multi-stage workflows without waiting for constant human intervention.
Which sounds great, but at $10 per million input tokens and $50 per million output tokens, that proactivity comes with a risk of token maxing. An overexcited agent could end up performing costly, unnecessary actions if you aren't watching it.
It ties right back to our first story. When the AI decides to take initiatives, you better make sure you've budgeted for its enthusiasm. And that is going to do it for today's Nowracast Tech Briefing. Thanks for tuning in.
As always, links to all the stories, GitHub issues, and blog posts we discussed are right there in the show notes.
We'll be back tomorrow with more tech news. Until then, keep an eye on your cloud billing dashboard.